Tonight, for our first missionary speaker, we have Dan Cummings from Laredo. Brother Dan?
It's good to be here, and I thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
First of all, I was thinking about he dropped his message there. This preacher was coming to church, and they couldn't use notes there. So he slipped his notes in his coat pocket, and he was preaching, and he'd fan it out. When he fanned it out, he looked down at his notes, and as he'd pick them up, he'd let one fall. And so one time he picked too many up, and he bent down like that, and come up J.C. Pinier. Let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 24. Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 24. Says, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he that understand, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I was sitting there looking at that verse, so I made me an outline of this verse, and I started out in this way here. Started the first one, it says, let him that glorieth glory in this. That's my first thought. My second thought come along, it says, that he understandeth and knoweth me. My third thought, that I am the Lord that exercise, three thoughts under that, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Number four, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Amen.
We'll start out with the first one. Let him that glorieth. First thing comes to my mind, if we're to glory in what? He arose with a mighty triumph over his foes.
Amen.
He took my place. He took your place. He took the place of all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if I am to glory, I am to glory in this. Did you know he died for you? He rose from the dead that we don't have to die. He took the sting of death for me and for you and the untold millions that haven't heard. This is a missions conference, right? Missions means what? When you step out of that door, you're on the mission field. You know, how many of y'all watch football? Do you pay, or do you watch football to watch them huddle? We don't, do we? We pay, and we just indulge ourselves and get beside ourselves when the eyeball to eyeball, and the ball snaps, and hair flies everywhere. And we all say, that's the way, get it, get it. Isn't that right? This is a huddle, my friends. There's no glory in here at all. The glory is when you eyeball to eyeball telling them the Lord died for you. We think of about 6 o'clock, the thing of the thought when he come out of the grave. You know, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today and he lives within me. Let him that glorieth glory in this. I could go on and on and tell you what he did for me on the cross. Number two, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you understand and do you know God? Do you know him as your Lord and personal Savior? You know, it makes me think of this. There's some kids in here, but they don't understand what we're talking about. The grown-ups understand. Those that are about 12, 13 years old and up, they reach a point where the process reverses after about a year, year and a half after they get married, the process reverses. It's not supposed to, but sometimes it does. It's when the boy thinks he has found his true love. And, oh, he just does what? How far does he go to please her? He doesn't care what it costs, does he? Neither does she. They go everything they can figure out, how to talk, how to figure things out. What will make you happy, right? That's why I said after they've been married about a year, that sort of. It's not supposed to be that way, but sometimes, no, I don't know why. We need to get back to it. Because that's what our Lord and Savior wants us to do. We need to find our what? Our first. So he wants us to understand him and know him. What are we going to understand about him? How are we going to understand about him? What are we going to know about him? We want to glory. We want to stand up and praise the Lord. When I was in North Carolina, Monday of this week, I was teaching chapel, and I was using this verse about understanding and knowing. I called a little boy up. He looked like he was trouble from the word first and last. So I said, I want to make you as happy as I can. And he looked up at me. So I had a used roll of paper towels. There was maybe four or five left on it. So I pulled them out and I said, I want to give you this. Oh, I thought you would want this. And I looked and I found something that I'm positive you won't. And when I handed it to him, he looked like I was the craziest person in the face of this earth. And I said, you don't like it? He said, and he looked at his teacher to see if it was okay if he could answer me that way. He said, no, I don't like it. I said, yeah, but I think you would like it. See, you can take it and you can finish wiping off this here and you can clean the windows. You can clean up this. Oh, I think you would like it because I think it would be good for you. He didn't think so. So I pulled out a little box of Legos, a little car Lego. And I said, will this make you happy? And he about knocked his ears off. Hey, now you're talking my language now. Okay, I found out what he liked. And you know, that's like with us. We need to find out what our Lord and Savior likes. Because a lot of times we're clapping our hands and jumping up and hollering and having, a screaming good time. Are we pleasing him the way we think we should please him? Or are we pleasing him the way he wants us to be pleased? Pleasing unto him. Are we serving him the way we want to serve him or the way the Lord wants us to serve him? See, there's a big difference. When it comes down to it and we stand before God, he said, I'm sorry, you served me the way you wanted to serve. He says, no. Let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. See, if we don't know how to glorify him, if we don't know how to make him happy, if we're making him happy the way we think we're making him, we're not making him happy. Have you ever bought something for your wife and thought she'd like it? Bad news. I done quit preaching and gone meddling, didn't I? But see, I want to please my Heavenly Father. That's my utmost. Things on this earth is temporary. They'll soon be gone. They won't be here very long. We need to find out what pleases Him. I can tell you what pleases Him. I can tell you how to please Him. But did you know it won't please my Heavenly Father? Because each and every one of us needs to find out what pleases Him. On your own accord. I can teach you all day long. But until you get down, until you get it, you don't know how to apply it. It's like you can tell somebody, there's a boy's got a bicycle out there. And he had to figure it out to get started. Now he's probably told him, I don't know how many times, how to do it. But when he got on the bicycle, what he knew up here did not coordinate down here because he had never tried it. And until we dig in ourselves, with ourselves, dig down and find out what our Heavenly Father wants us to know. It's like, when they're about 4 or 5 years old, they learn how to put their shoes and their britches on and their shirt on. And you say, let me help you put them, me self. They put them on backwards. The shoes on one side or the other. The buttons off. And they come strutting up there. Yeah, look, I dress myself, mommy. And mom and daddy lies every time. And they said, well, where did they learn how to lie? I done quit preaching, gone to meddling again. And they wonder why. But the thing is, why? Because we want them to what? To learn how to do it themselves. And until they learn how to do it themselves, that's what it's about. If a horse don't want to drink after you lead him to the water, what do? Stick his head in it? No, you get some sugar pills that's got a lot of salt in it. And he'll down them right now. But when he finishes downing them, he's going to get that water. We need to get people a taste of the Lord. Once they have tasted and finding out, he's good. Then they'll understand, well, why is he up there so emotional? What does he have? Because I've sat down and I've tasted it. And brother, let me tell you something. It's good. It's good. So when I understood and I knew him, I like this other part. Number three, that I am the Lord. You remember when the Lord talked to Moses by the burning bush? We always said, you know, man, he was stuttering. He was saying, Lord, I can't talk. Well, it's this way here. If there was a bush sitting here and it is on fire and it started talking to you, let me ask you, please tell me, would you talk without stuttering to it? I'll guarantee you every one of us will be stuttering. And to top it off, if you knew Pharaoh that he'd rather see your head roll, you'd stutter too. But the Lord is so gracious to us, like he was gracious to Moses. He said, I'll send somebody to help you. And he always does. When we think we can't handle things, he always helps. You know, when I knew him, when I've tasted of him, and when he's helped me through situations that I just can't figure out how to do, I stutter all over the place. He said, I'll send somebody. That's good. That's what you call tasting of him. He's good. He's sweet. Sweeter than honey. The honeycomb. Oh, I love my Lord. Do you? And what I like about this part here, look at it. It says that I am the Lord. Watch that other little piece that it says up under there. Which? What's that other word? Huh? What's it? What? Exercise. What does exercise mean? Put in action. Exercising. When you exercise, that means you're what? Flexing your muscles. Making them what? Strong. He says, I am the Lord that which exercise. I like the first one. He says, loving kindness. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, he loved us unconditionally. Just as I am. I like that. He loved us. Loving kindness in the earth. You know, if he didn't give us loving kindness, there would be not a soul on the face of this earth. None of us deserves heaven. We deserve hell. Even a loving God with his mercy would still have to send us to hell. Because we just have a tendency to sin on and sin on. We just have a tendency, Lord, forgive me. And we sin on. Before we even get it out of our mouth, we're still doing it. Isn't that right? You know, we didn't have the right to even get our sins forgiven once. But not only did he forgive them once, but he forgives them every day.
Amen.
See, the thing is, we don't understand his goodness to glory. Oh, he's good. I like this other part, judgment. Romans 3:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We have sinned. We deserve hell. Oh, I love the word but. That's grace. He judged me. He brought me to the point that I am a low-down sinner, heading straight to hell. No way out. As I was walking out the door, he said, but wait a minute, son. I want to forgive you of your sins. And I turned around and says, but will you? He said, I've already had. Like the thief hanging on the cross, said, Lord, remember me. And he said, on the cross, in utter agony, today, without being prepared. That's love, my brother. That's love. And under anybody's circumstances, very few of us, when somebody's stepping on their toes, or you know, when you have your arm leaning down, you're down somewhere, and somebody steps on you right along in here with a foot, and they don't get off, what have we done to our Heavenly Father? He loves us. He died for us. So we come here and we see, for the wages of sin is death in judgment. But he says, but the gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and me. It's in him. The other one is righteous. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow? Whiter than snow. Oh, wash me, Lord, and I'll be whiter than judgment. One of these days, when the trumpet sounds, he's going to pass out some crowns. And what are we going to lay at his feet? What are we going to lay at his feet? What are we going to lay? Huh? What are we going to lay at his feet? You know, the sad part about this whole thing, you remember a fellow named Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh, right? He said, I ain't going to go to them heathen. Please pray tell me, what was he? Was not Jonah saved by grace? Was not Jonah a sinner as they? What's the difference in between them and me? And me? Huh? I'm better than they. No. We're saved from the wrath to come, which we deserve. None of us deserves heaven. So, when I stand before God, what am I going to glory in? Huh? What am I going to glory? Jonah, when he stood before God, or when he stands at judgment seat, can you imagine? Just put yourself in Jonah's feet for a few minutes. Let's say that door was the entrance to heaven. Jonah's standing there watching as each Ninevite, when they die, they come to heaven. What was the reaction of the person coming in the door when they saw Jonah? What was Jonah's message? You're going to die and go to hell. He wanted each one of them to die and go to hell. And when they walked in heaven, you know, I don't believe Jonah. I believe Jonah was the greatest evangelist that the face of this earth ever had. He won more souls than anybody I've ever heard of in this whole world. But did you know something? I don't believe Jonah's going to have not a one crown for it. Because he did it how? Begrudgingly. He ain't going to have nothing. He's not going to have nothing to glory in the Lord. Lord, look at all these people I brought out, the greatest evangelist. No, Jonah's going to be standing in the face of God like Thomas was when he stuck his finger in the hand of Jesus Christ and stuck it in his side. He's going to fall to his feet and say, oh my God. Isn't that true? I want to bring people to, I want to stand there, Lord, look at all these people. You know, we'll be able to glory bringing in the sheaves. We shall all come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You know, I'm glad I serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
The last part, he says here, for in these things I delight. You know, there's no better satisfaction in a father or a mother when their children scoots up beside them and puts their arms around you and give you a kiss to dad, mom, I love you. Right? There's no greater satisfaction. Ah, that's the best thing in the wide world. They can do many a things if they just come up and do that. You know, I think we need to think about, are we satisfying our Heavenly Father? Or we're not satisfied. It says, for in these things, what things? What things? For in these things, what? I delight. Saith who? Me? Lord. And he stood as they railed upon him. Said, Father, forgive them. They don't know when he gave up the ghost. Into thy hands, I commit my spirit. Have we given ourselves to the Lord? What does he say? Take up our cross and what? Follow him? On a cross. What can you do on a cross? Once a person is dead, what can he do? Huh? What can a dead person do? Nothing. There's no shedding of blood. There's what? Remission of sin. And if we don't die, we can't be risen. If Christ didn't die, there's no salvation for none of us. And if we don't die, we can't be risen. How can we glory? How can we praise the Lord when we'd be dead in trespasses? We need to receive Him as our Savior. We need to go tell others so they can also. Out of that, we're all lost. We can gain the whole world, but none of it will stand before God Almighty. It'll burn and burn and burn. But let me tell you something. A person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ cannot burn. A person that rejects the Lord as his Savior, he'll burn and burn forever. There will be no stopping of burning. Perpetual destruction. While we're standing in heaven, walking on streets of gold, they're in hell, in utter darkness, screaming for all they're worth. Utter pain. And we're in heaven. Oh, it feels so good. It's hard for me to imagine. I think we need to go tell the world about Jesus. If we really love the Lord, that's what we'll do. Because there's no greater love than He who laid down His life for us. Will you lay your life down for them? Number one, let him that glorieth, glorieth in this.